Hello, everyone. On today's episode, The Fountain of Youth, we discover why strength training is the number one intervention for longevity. Please enjoy.
Welcome to the Perfect Workout Podcast, where fitness meets simplicity. I'm Kyle Recchia, CEO of the Perfect Workout. I'm joined by Jim Keen, our director of training. We hope you enjoy today's episode. All right. So welcome, everybody. It's our first podcast.
We did it.
We're here. It only gets worse.
It only goes downhill from here.
Yeah. And I'm super pumped. I mean, it's great timing. So our first topic is going to be how exercise is essentially the fountain of youth. And here we are, South by Southwest. Had a pretty cool convention yesterday with Peter Attia, talking about longevity, health span, all that kind of stuff. And my big takeaway was essentially, at the end of all this, including all these new drugs and all kinds of stuff, there's really one thing we know that can help us live longer, and that's exercise. So, you know, when he talks about exercise decreasing all-cause mortality, I think we should start there. Like, how do you define all-cause mortality, and how does exercise really get into impacting that?
That's a great question. He brought it up yesterday. And the idea is all-cause mortality, just for those who don't know, it's dying from any cause. So whenever they do a study, there's, let's say you're studying heart disease. In the results of the study, they have, here's the people who died from heart disease during the study, but also here's all-cause mortality. So it's trying to catch a new signal from the noise. So all-cause mortality is the endpoint of basically all longevity research, like don't die. So all-cause mortality is the number of people who died from any cause. And what they find over and over and over again is that when you make somebody stronger, when you increase the capacity of their largest muscles to produce force, they tend to die less often in the study period, and they're at an older age when they do die. So all-cause mortality is improved in almost every case by being stronger.
So we're going to talk about this a little bit next time, because I mean, that's massive and it's interesting. It's in the headlines and things like that, but it's still one of those things that you would think as a society, if somebody's like, we can decrease all-cause mortality by this one thing, then everybody's like, we're cool. We're just going to do that, right? And yet we know only 95% of people don't exercise.
Right.
So we're going to talk about that a lot in the next episode, but I do want to give some teasers here because that's pretty broad. And we know disease states across the spectrum are pretty complex. And so you would think that something like exercise would decrease a few types of mortality, mm-hmm. right?
Right, right.
So maybe if you could help us understand sort of how, at a high level, what are the areas and mechanisms by adding muscle do we decrease all-cause mortality?
So there's a few things. And I'll start kind of big picture and get small.
Oh, and sorry, Jim. Also, they're defining exercise relatively loose.
Oh, yeah. Like walking around a lake.
Sure.
That counts.
Yeah. So maybe you can give us some perspective there too.
Yeah. Exercise is an activity done for the specific purpose of enhancing the body's capacity to produce force and use its fuel in the effort. So very targeted when we speak about exercise. Primarily, we're talking about the type of exercise that involves high effort contraction with muscle. And we can get into that in a later episode, the different types of modalities of exercise. But high levels of effort is the goal here. So from a large perspective, the process of aging can be understood as, you know, you have the most you can do at top exertion, and you have the least you can do, that's just lying down. And over time, the most you can do approaches the least you can do. This is a Dr. Doug McGuff thing. Yeah. And then when they meet, that's called dead. So the process of aging can accurately be understood by the process by which the most you can do approaches the least you can do. Now, in that context, if you show up to the perfect workout and we spend 6 months, we spend 12 months, and we raise the most you can do, we increase that, we have practically reversed the aging process.
Right.
So you'll still go gray, you'll still get wrinkles, et cetera. You'll still forget where the ketchup is. And then your partner will say, it's in the door. It's not in the door. I don't see it. It's in the door. And then they have to come and find it and they're mad. That'll still happen. But you will reverse the aging process on a practical level because you will have increased the most that you can do. Now, on a smaller level, on a mechanistic level, the working muscles are the primary priority of the body's survival mechanism. You can't fight a rival. You can't escape a predator. You can't procreate. You can't survive without the use of your largest skeletal muscles. So every system in the body, every organ system, every glandular system, your entire cardiopulmonary system, your endothelium, your lungs, your heart, all the capillaries, everything exists for the purpose of supporting the working muscles because of that survival. So when we tax, when we place a demand on the largest working muscles in your body, we place a demand on all the systems that support the working muscles. So your cardiovascular system improves, your circulation improves, your brain function improves, and so forth and so on. So all the enzymes involved in the combustion of fuel to produce force and high levels of force, fight or flight, that's you're burning sugar, glycogen in the muscles, you burn that through glycolysis. And then lower levels later on, you're beta oxidizing fat and oxygen combusting aerobically. But it's all downstream from the same thing, which is improving the large skeletal muscles. So we are increasing the most you can do, giving you more physiologic headroom, I call it. So we're aging more slowly or reversing the aging process entirely. And then everything they've studied, these small little parts that can point to greater longevity, they are all upregulated, improved by the consistent placement of a demand on your largest working muscles.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So I'm going to kind of say that back to you because I think one thing, when we get further down into some of these episodes, it might be cool to get into some of the more technical pieces too. But one thing that we, like some of the context there is really just coming back to muscle. This is good because like if you don't define exercise, right, especially if the average person, something like 46% of people in the United States are obese, et cetera, isn't moving, right, then it's easy to go, okay, the goal is to just do anything, right, which, okay, might have its place, but what you're talking about here, the mechanisms, is really to add muscle to the body, to put a demand on the muscle, et cetera. And that's gotten so much louder lately. I love Gabriel Lyons. I'm just going to start calling out names of people.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll come on our podcast if I say their name. Gabriel.
Gabriel, come talk protein with us,
You're
please.
Welcome to be on here.
Talk strength training.
Exactly. is coming full circle right back to this simple thing, right? Which is it's about muscle, right? And the exercise piece in particular. So let's come back to this sort of the beginning of this, which is, if you could speak a little bit more to on, so we're talking about the fountain of youth, right? Maybe to kind of set us up for some future episodes, break down that longevity versus health span definition too.
Sure.
Because I think the health span thing, it's, some people are like, oh, it's overused, everybody's saying it, but there's a reason.
Right. Yeah. The I forget who said it, but someone was saying, you don't need to slowly circle the drain to the end. For the last number of years, live long, drop dead. That might be a Marxism thing. Yeah. Mark, come talk to us.
Mark, come on.
But live long and drop dead. Ideally, that's how I want to go. Just kind of and then drop. You don't need to circle the drain. When we did that interview years ago with Dr. Doug McGuff, he pointed out that I'm going to get the numbers a little fudged, I think, but it's over 90% of all the money spent in your life on average, all the medical money spent is spent in the final 2 weeks of life. 90% of all the money your whole life is spent in the final 2 weeks. So that need not happen. That's because you have lifestyle sort of disease. So when you live to 90, but your final 10 years are no fun, you stack that up against living to 80, but you live long and drop dead. That's a judgment call for a lot of people. But for me and for an increasing number of people who are starting to think about something we don't like to think about, it's very morbid, thinking about your own end. How's this going to end? But when you start to think about it and you start making, there's no solutions. There's only trade-offs. But that final 10 years, I want that to be strong. And that's priority. And then let's have that last as long as I want it to last. But that final 10 years, that health span, well, there's a lot of people, they live the same year 80 times over and call it a life. And that's no good either. So when you're 40, when you're 50, when you're 60, it's not just an old guy thing. Frank Grillo, the actor, he was interviewed, I think it was like in Men's Health magazine or something. And he's 59 now. And he says he's approached and he's jacked. He's photo shoot ready within 3 days at all times.
Oh man.
And he was quoted as saying, he said, yeah, some guy came up to me and said, man, I hope I look like you when I'm 59. And I'm like, you don't look like that now. Right. So you're not just going to magically look like this when you're 59. You got to look like this now and then maintain it. So that's a mental switch that people are going to need to make. And that's what health span is. Health span is because it's going to descend when you age. Health span means get as high up as you can now. Build your physiologic headroom. Become as capable, as aesthetically pleasing, as healthy, as strong as you can right now. And then you're hang gliding.
Yeah.
And that's health span.
So then you're decreasing from a much higher.
Correct. Yeah, if you start with a cathedral headroom and then the water starts to fill up around your feet, you're not so worried because you can tread water towards the end. But if you're in this office and the water starts to fill in, now you're nervous.
So that's the interesting thing in the challenge, right? In a society where we're just like, we want everything quick. Or, you know what? I'll deal with that when it comes up. You're saying it kind of comes down to starting early and being consistent, et cetera. So if I'm listening to this, of course, I'm like, well, just give me the answer.
What do I do, bro?
Just what do I do, right? And why is it that only 5% of people are strength training, right? So when you say exercise, what's the best way to exercise relative to that thing? People adhering to it and having quality of life, et cetera. So we're going to get into that in the next episode.
Right on. I'm into it.
Yeah, man. Well, cool. We did one.
We did it. Yeah. That's all there is to it.
I think we'll publish it.
Just bros being bros.
All right, dude. See you next.
Thanks for tuning in to the Perfect Workout Podcast. We hope you found today's episode inspiring and actionable. If you're ready to take the next step in your fitness journey, visit us at theperfectworkout.com for more resources or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with someone who could benefit. Together, let's make fitness simple, empowering, and a part of life well lived. See you next time.